Hello everybody, this is the translation of John Cherry's message for Sunday the 25th of April. Today I would like us to take a few minutes to review what the Bible has to say on this wonderful subject of love. We could go so far as to say that the whole Christian message to the world is based on love. We read in John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." What an example of love we have here from the God of heaven, he who created the heavens and the earth, the one who holds the whole world in his hands, could love us so much that he was ready to give the best of heaven to bring us back to himself. There are three types of love that are found in the Bible described by these three Greek words. 1. Philia, which means friend or link. 2. Eros, romantic love. And 3. Agape, unconditional love of God. Today I would like to try to answer the question, what is love? From a biblical point of view, if I had to question everyone here and ask the question, what is love? I'm sure we would find a variety of answers, different personal ideas of what love is. Love is difficult to define, but from a Christian perspective, love is best understood through the Bible. In fact, one of the most researched themes in the Bible is the definition of love. What is the definition of love? As Christians, our point of reference, or our manual of life, should be the Word of God, the Bible. I would like to focus our minds on the third type of love found in the Bible and defined by theologians as agape love, unconditional love, unconditional bias, which is at the heart of Christianity, as we see in the verse we read together, John chapter 3 verse 16. Love, like fire, is devouring, gives power and lives in each of us. Our heart is the symbol of love which is reflected on earth. When we think of the Bible, we see it as a testimony of Jesus and of all the love he has given to his people. The Bible is a huge story of love for God and his journey towards our acceptance and forgiveness of ourselves and others. The word love appears on almost every page of our Bible. In the Bible, love is what binds people together against hate and dishonesty. Love is what keeps us from fighting with our enemies and from fighting with those who disagree with us. There are many books in the Bible that deal with love as a central theme, and one of the best books that focuses on love is John's first epistle. John helps us discover what love is. The word love is used interchangeably with the words light and word. He uses these words to help us understand what love looks and feels like, how it acts and resonates. John also expands on his teachings on love in 2 John, where he discusses the truth about the word love. Love is more than just romantic attraction or strong feelings towards your loved ones. It also represents the truth, respect and obedience that Christians hold for God. One of the best-known verses in the Bible that many people use on a daily basis is the text of 2 John, verse 5 and 6. "I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." Love one another. The verse is quoted by almost everyone at some point, perhaps a mum to her arguing children. The word love was created to connect those around us with feelings of joy and happiness. However, love is not easy, and just saying you love someone is different from showing it. We show our love in several ways: holding someone's hand when they're scared, calling a friend to ask if it's safe to come home, or even through acts of marriage. The Song of Solomon focuses on love in a concept of benefit based on attraction. Love may seem like a simple concept before you read the Bible. You will realise that as you read it, love can have many meanings in the Bible. Key concepts to remember are: love is trusting our God, love is being faithful to your partner and family, and love is being kind and patient with the world that surrounds you. Love is alive on your wedding day. Love is alive at the table when you give thanks to God for the food that awaits you. Love elevates your sins to God and asks for his forgiveness. Love is there for those who need it. If you are looking for guidance in life, seek love. The books of John and the Psalms are both excellent starting points for reading about love and how God is present in our hearts. Love in the scriptures is considered to be a deliberate action. Remember that agape love, that word that we started with, unconditional love, does this mark us as Christians? As we have considered love in its larger sense, let us now consider how it should be reflected in our lives in a practical sense. If you forget everything I am saying this morning, remember this sentence, unconditional love. Commitment motivated by love. We have looked at what love is, and now I would like to examine what love means to us as Christians. 1. Engagement. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 8, Abraham left Ur, not knowing where he was going, but trusted God. We have Peter, James and John who left their nets and followed Jesus. Are we engaged like these people were? Look at Abraham. He had a comfortable life in Ur, but because of his commitment and trust in God, he was ready to step into the unknown. Peter, James and John had a good fishing business, but they were ready to put Jesus first in their lives. Unfortunately, I think today the churches are suffering. The spread of the gospel is suffering because we are not fully committed to Christ. The 21st century has unfortunately created a society that does not want to get involved, does not want to implicate itself, and unfortunately, this culture has spread in our churches and our Christian lives. It's a beautiful day today. Let's go out for a picnic instead of going to church. I'm going to give up my devotional time today because I don't want to miss the programme on TV. I can do it later. Has Jesus been relegated to second place in our lives? Is our Christianity the same as coming to church occasionally? Occasionally reading the Bible? Sometimes spending time in prayer? Love must generate commitment. If we treat our partners the way we sometimes treat the Lord Jesus, I wonder where our relationships would be. Let us examine our hearts this morning and renew our commitment to our Lord Jesus. The author of the 19th century English song wrote these words, "We can never know the delights of his love until we place everything on the altar." The second consequence is service. With love comes service. In John chapter 21, verse 17, the Lord Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Love manifests itself in actions. Look again at our verse, John 3, verse 16. Because of God's love for us, he was willing to give up his son to bridge the gap between us and a holy God. Jesus was an ambassador of the Father's love. The most quoted verse in the Bible concerns the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. It tells us that God loved the world so much that he acted, he did something, and that something involved a great sacrifice. The love of God resulted in action and sacrifice. The teaching and example of Jesus and the shining thread of compassion for others that runs through all scripture underscore God's desire that Jesus' followers be recognized by their tangible expression of love for all. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. And again we read in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, love always requires tangible expression. He needs hands and feet. As followers of Christ, we can all too easily be overwhelmed by the complexity and depth of our Christian faith, and we can become confused by doctrine and theology. The beautiful simplicity of our faith is that it led to the same result for the brilliant theologian and the five-year-old. Love God and love one another. Richard Stearn, an American writer, said, "Every act of kindness, every moment spent in prayer, and every expression of love in the name of Christ pierces the heart of the enemy and sends him into retreat. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these little ones, you did for me." Matthew 25, verse 40. The question today is, how can we adapt this to our Christian life? Does our service include warming a seat on a Sunday morning every now and then criticising the pastor's message? Unfortunately, I think that today is what some Christians see as service. Does that describe you today? As I've said regularly from this stage, let us look again in our spiritual mirror in light of the scriptures we have discussed. Or is there an eagerness, a willingness to get involved in church activities? The Lord has given each of us gifts, abilities in different things. Are we ready to use them in the service of God today? There are possibilities to use them. The Bible calls us living stones, being built with Christ as the cornerstone. So the challenge I would like to take up is the following. Love generates commitment, and from commitment comes service, and from there comes satisfaction and makes our great God happy. Let us together serve our God, who has been accepted as a result of love, that there is in our lives the expression of our service coming from the love and gratitude for this living relationship that we have in him. He was willing to give his Son to make this possible. Amen.